Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 1, the beginning of Lord manifestation and his instructions on Krishna Sankirtan. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ajanu Lambita Bhujo Kanika Vitato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karana Vitaro. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, whose arms extend down to their knees, who have complexions like molten glow gold, and who inaugurated the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Their eyes resemble the petals of a lotus flower. They are the maintainers of living entities, the best of the Brahmins, the protectors of religious principles for this age, the benefactors of the universe, and the most merciful incarnation. Omagana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmulatamyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I think most of you have probably heard my description of the division of Gaur Lila. I'll just briefly, so just put this in context, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived 48 years, 24 in Navadvip and 24 in South India and Puri. The first 24 years are called Adi Lila. The next 24 years are called Sesha Lila. The first 6 years of Sesha Lila, from 24 to 30, are the Madhya Lila, where Lord Chaitanya travels and based in Puri, but travels throughout South India. And then the last 18 years of his life are in Puri to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to experience the love of his topmost devotee at the height of her, the height of her love. So the Madhya Lila, and it's a real division in Lord Chaitanya's life, because at the end of the Adi Lila, at the end of those 24 years, what happens is his father dies, he goes to Goya, and he meets his guru. And this is, and this chapter is actually called the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. And it's very, very significant. And we've been having a great group of people in a class. And there's one point that's just so significant. Why does Lord Chaitanya transform when he comes back from Gaya after he's initiated? They don't recognize him. And interesting, you can see a person and say, I don't recognize him, when he changes his behavior. Because a person is not just his form, a person is his behavior. And if his behavior changes, you don't recognize the person just as much, in one sense, as if his form changed. So they don't recognize him because his consciousness changed. And it significantly changed, and that's what should happen in initiation. So I came up with this kind of mantra that I think really describes the essence of what happened, and that is commitment changes consciousness. a spiritual commitment changes consciousness. And the spiritual commitment, and there's some things that I'm repeating again and again, maybe for a year or two, and I'll come up with something else, because the commitment is there's an authority greater than my own opinions and desires, which are based on the false ego, the desire for superiority and control. And the higher authority than that, which is the absolute truth, dictates that I'm meant to serve the absolute truth. And in that locus or consciousness, I can feel the absolute truth. And therefore I can feel myself, which is a servant to the absolute truth. And feeling the absolute truth is the goal of life. That's what the goal of life is. It's called pritti. And what do you mean, feeling the absolute truth? It means when there's relationship between people, there's an energy that we feel. And that's called love. And the supreme love is a relationship with God. So with commitment, consciousness changes. Because we feel love and we begin to realize the real self rather than the false self and act on that platform. And what is the real self? The real self is muktir hitvayata rupam sarupena vivastita. It's to give up the false identity, the identity that I'm the enjoyer and controller, which is bedded in the karma attained body, which is to facilitate that, unless it's transformed by a mood of service. And sarupena vivasa, to be situated in our relationship with God and feel that. So what happens is that's how it begins. And that's the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. The beginning of the Sankirtan movement is consciousness, a different type of consciousness. And from that consciousness, which is love, whenever there is love, the next thing that comes is words that express the love. Or even in a more hand sense, the kirtan, which expresses that love. So that's the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. It's this commitment. And that's when we become vehicles for the Sankirtan movement. That's why our most important duty is to become Krishna conscious, even if our desire is to distribute Krishna consciousness. That's the power. A lot of things are not the amount of time we do it, but the consciousness in which we do it. I wrote an article about that, describing I said stone or cotton, meaning that you absorb when you have that commitment, when you surrender, when you say to Krishna, from this day I am yours, so much comes into your heart. And until that time, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 30 years or 40 years, you're just purifying yourself. You're just purifying yourself to come to that consciousness. Just like the story of Maharaj Katvanga, he fought for thousands and thousands of years successfully on behalf of the demigods against the demons, and then Lord Brahma gave him a benediction. And what he asked for is, I want to know when I'm going to die. And Brahma said, well, lucky you, because you're going to die soon, and now you know, and then you can prepare yourself. So it's so much can be done if we actually commit ourselves and surrender. to the authority of the Supreme Lord, represented by Guru and the Vaishnavas. That was Prabhupada's power, and look what he did. I tell this story often. I heard it from Bhakti Vikas Swami. Prabhupada was sitting in his room in Calcutta after coming back from the West and marveling how successful he was, and then questioning himself out loud, how is he the lucky one? Because I described this many times, I've read books on this. The disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur were a veritable all-star team of very high-class, cultured, and educated people, mostly from Brahmins and Kshatriya classes. And they were great leaders, and Prabhupada was thinking, they were sannyasis, I'm a grihastha, they're Brahmins and they're Kshatriyas, I'm from a Vaishya class. So how was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? And then Prabhupada said, I was 100% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. And then he quoted a verse, Vuvasayatmi Kabudhya Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushaka Yanantascha. Not many branch, but single-minded. And what's that single-minded? I live by the truth because I'm part of the truth and I'm meant for service to the truth. And when there is commitment to that, one becomes the cotton consciousness heart, which absorbs bhakti, transforms himself, and can transform the world. So this is what has happened. And now Lord Chaitanya is coming back. Actually, Kishore from the Mayapuris and his wife were here today. And my friend Jan. It's funny, I know him for 58 years, my God. And now my best friend from youth is here. And Leela Vlasini has been taking him out on Prikram with Aaron Greenwood every day. Very special Prikram. And Leela came to me just before she left. She came here 3 weeks to help me. And just before she came, left, she said, I see that, you know, all this time that he suffered outside was worth it because his consciousness is so special. And I told her, I was thinking the same thing because he's just so grateful and so appreciative. And absorbing so much because of humility. Because of humility and surrender. Prabhupada, you know, he didn't start the mission of Krishna consciousness till he was my age. So strange. I'm the age of Prabhupada when he came to America, maybe a little older now, scary. But what he did, because he was committed. So this is the beginning of the Sankirtan movement. And we're kind of reading about it. And what happens is I think it's described at the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, is that the associates of the Lord were taking birth all over West Bengal and from Nityananda to Advaita Acharya to Gadadhar, they're starting to congregate to begin the Sankirtan movement. And that's the way it is in the world now. Anybody's a world preacher, you can go to some country, obscure country, some obscure place, and you'll find such extraordinary devotees. Actually, there's one young lady that comes to my class who's been in, she's 30 years old. She's been in pain for 10 years since she's come to Krishna consciousness. always living with intense pain, but so deeply absorbed in the holy name for such a young lady. And I saw kind of a faith that she finally decided that she'd have to have this serious operation. She'd have to have this very, very serious operation. And there's a doctor in Moscow treated someone else I know. They say he has golden hands, especially for ladies' issues. But she's getting the operation in Vrindavan. No matter what you recommend to her, she's getting the operation in Vrindavan. They opened up kind of a nice modern hospital, believe it or not. Maybe on the road past Vrindavan. But still, people, where they come from with that level of faith, man, I would have went for the golden hands. But that faith, so in all countries, they all congregating here for this beginning of the Sankirtan movement, which begins with this commitment. Verse 2, O my Lord, you eternally existing in the past, present, and future, yet you are the son of Sri Jagannath Misra. It's like Bhagavad Gita verse, Ajopi san abhyatma utanan ishvaropi san. Though I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, I take birth. I offer my repeated obeisances unto you along with your devotees, your sons, your consorts, and your and others. All glories to Vishwambar, the king of the Brahmins. All glories to the society of devotees who are dear to Vishwambar, Lord Chaitanya. All glories to the Lord who is the friend, wealth, and life of Nityananda. All glories to the abode of Gadadhar and Advaita's love. All glories to the Lord who is most dear to Jagannanda. All glories to the heart and soul of Vrikreshwara and Kashivar. All glories to the Lord of the devotees headed by Srivas. O Lord, please bestow your merciful glance on the living entities. The topics of Madhyakanda are just like drops of nectar. Atheism will vanquish from the heart of anyone who hears these narrations. Oh, brothers, please hear attentively the topics of the Madhyakanda wherein the inauguration of the Sankirtan pastimes is described. So this is also a point that I mentioned many times, is that to write something like this, it's beyond the intellect. The intellect is used, but it can't be limited to the intellect. There has to be revelation of the truth, and you actually have to feel the truth. And to feel the truth and be able to write about it, you have to be in a particular consciousness. And that consciousness is humility. And prayers are an expression of humility. You can't pray in pride. You can only pray in humility, because you're exalting something above yourself and perhaps even begging, indicating your need or your lack of something. So And that's the only way you feel mercy. Mercy is undeserved kindness. I've mentioned this. I don't want to keep on repeating points, but it's undeserved feeling of, undeserved kindness. So when you feel mercy, you have to reflect on your lack of qualification. Because if you feel qualified, you won't feel that love. You feel entitled and you get something, even if it's so valuable and you have no qualification for it, you won't feel love. So prayers exalt the object of your prayer, your desire, and in begging, expressing your own lack of qualification, and it creates the consciousness where you can feel these things and feel this love and write about it and speak about it. Because if you don't have it, you can't feel it and you can't communicate it. So now it begins. And I'm really happy about this because I haven't found a book in a while that I was so excited and confident that I can explain. As soon as Sri Gaurisundar returned from Gaya, the entire city was filled with the news. So there was no internet, there was no Facebook, but news gets around the village very quickly because, one, there's no high-rises and people know each other and people are outside a lot. It's India, they're outside a lot. And once something is newsworthy, people just start to spread the news. And it doesn't take long at all before everyone's informed. And when you value something, when you're in the absence of it, you feel it. So they're feeling separation. They really love this person, Nimai. And he has all good qualities and he's so attractive. And not just physically attractive where he is, but his behavior is so stellar. And he's so kind and he's so compassionate. And when you meet him or have a relationship with him, you become very attached to serving him, develop a relationship with him, to be in his proximity. So when he's gone, now he returns. All the Lord's friends and relatives came running to see him. Some came early, some came in between, and some came later. So the whole village is coming to see him. The Lord spoke befittingly with everyone, and they all became jubilant on seeing Vishrambar. So he's cultured. And one of the prime factors of culture is the ability to relate appropriately to experience the love in various relationships. If you see a cultured person, he knows how to be a son or a daughter or a student or a disciple. And therefore, knows how to extract the love, the feeling of love in those relationships. So Lord here is cultured, and he speaks with everyone appropriately, and they become so jubilant because he's so attractive. They all greeted the Lord and accompanied home while Vishrambar narrated topics of his pilgrimage. So this is also very common psychology. When you go someplace and you have a good time, the first thing you want to do is share it with others. You want to share it with others. And So he begins, he's walking home, and he's telling about Gaia and seeing the footprints of Vishnu that are embedded there and meeting his guru. And because it's devotional, he's in a state of ecstasy. And he's walking home with his friends, telling him what he saw and what he did. The Lord said, "By the blessings of all of you, I visited the abode of Gaia without any difficulty." So this is the humility of a Vaishnava, that he credits his success to the kindness of others and deeply realizes how much one is dependent on the kindness of others, and feels in his heart that it's only by these great devotees who have that relationship with God and petitioned God that somehow is successful. There were these two devotees that were very, very close, and they had this conflict. They weren't speaking to each other, younger devotees. And they just came to me. I'm close with them to resolve it. I don't know about counseling or psychology, but I tried my hardest, you know, to reason with them. And the next day they came and they were so thankful. "We don't know how we change. It must be your blessings." Now, whether it's my blessings or not, it's such a nice mood to have, that our success comes from blessings. And I think that must be a fact, because otherwise, how can we get the mercy? I'm sitting here in Vrindavan, and I think some of you have seen my room. And I'm feeling such, what blessings? What's blessings in the association of devotees? What blessings? Because there's no way you can earn something so valuable. So it must be the blessings of the Vaishnavas. The Lord spoke with such great humility that everyone became fully satisfied. Some person placed their hands on the Lord's head and said, "Live a long life." Others touched his various limbs while chanting mantras. So there are elders to the Lord. And the appropriate expression in love, called anubhava, in their love, is to try to bless the Lord and wish him well. Wish him well. Some place their hands on the Lord's chest and bless him with the words, "May Govinda bestow soothing, blissful mercy on you." Wow. Sitalananda Karuna Prasad. Govinda, Sitala means cooling. Sitala Ananda, cooling. Blissful, Karuna, Prasad, mercy. Mercy. The most fortunate mother, Sachi, was filled with joy and forgot herself while seeing her son. Sachi had such affection for her son. Such deep, deep feelings of motherly love for her son, that later on, when the Sankirtan mission begins, that's going to take about 9 chapters, and the devotees are dancing in ecstasy because they're experiencing this platform of, they're experiencing this platform of prema, which cannot, actually, basically, prema cannot be contained in the body, because it's the supreme emotion. The body has a limited capacity for this type of energy. So generally, you attain the state of bhava And then in your next life, being born where Krishna's having his pastimes, you can go to prema in different things. So Lord Chaitanya, the prema coming through his body, he was just mad when it describes his kirtan, his whirling and his feet touching his head, and jumping the air and becoming stunned. She just was so pained. So Lord Chaitanya gave her the benediction that whenever he was in kirtan and dancing so she wouldn't be pained, she would lose external consciousness. The family of Lakshmi's father became most happy. And Lakshmi's distress was vanquished as she looked on the face of her husband. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the character of the life force in immortality. It's Sharanagati. It's taking shelter of God and feeling love in different relationships. So now his wife comes, his father-in-law comes, and their distress is ended. All the Vaishnavas became pleased. Some of them immediately went to see the Lord. After the Lord humbly spoke with everyone, he bid them goodbye and they returned to their homes. So this is his transformation. He was a logician, and now he's the abode of humility. The Lord then took a few devotees to a solitary place to discuss some confidential topics. So what is something that's confidential? Something confidential is something that cannot be shared publicly because perhaps people don't have the frame of reference to understand it. It's confidential. But now he wants to share his heart. So how do you share your heart with people who don't understand it? Well, you find those who can understand it and go to a place where those other people are not there, and you share your heart. So these have to be very, very confidential people because he's going to be sharing something that's quite astounding. So there's guti, means a small number. A small number of people he meets. The Lord said, "Oh friends, please hear me, hear about the wonders of Krishna that I have seen. As soon as I entered the boat of Gaia, I heard the most auspicious sounds. Thousands and thousands of brahmanas were reciting prayers from the Vedas. They said, 'Come and see the holy spot where Lord Vishnu washed his feet.'" So India is a holy place. It's incredible how many places there are. And the Kishore was just in and explaining the festival they had with Dinabandhu for Vrindakun, and where they had these drummers that play on the sticks, and you know, they're having an abhishek, and the ladies coming down from Nandagram with the water and the two kirtan parties. And everything a manifestation of devotion. So in Gaia, it's incredible. Thousands of Brahmins chanting mantras. And when Lord Krishna previously visited Gaia, he washed his feet at that place. As soon as the Lord repeated the names of Pada, Padmatirtha, tears began to incessantly flow from his eyes. So there was this commitment and this change of consciousness. Sharanagati, he took shelter of God, which is opening the door to love. And now he is the cotton that's becoming overwhelmed from emotion. He is sensitive. It describes in the Bhagavatam that one who is chanting and is not crying, then his heart must be steel-hearted due to offenses. When you don't feel anything, then it's because of aparad, to distance ourselves, apa, radha, from worship or radha. But Lord Chaitanya is so feeling sentiment. And when he comes in contact with the things that excite sentiment, so just the name of that place where he met his guru, where he saw the feet of Vishnu, he's just crying incessantly. Eventually, the Lord lost all composure and began to cry profusely as he called out the name of Krishna. The Lord's entire body was decorated with hair standing on end, and he was unable to remain still, and his body began to intensely shiver. So we describe that this is how love comes to the platform of rasa, by intense emotions that heighten the love. So he sees the place where Vishnu's feet that was worshipped, where it washed, and that's still there, and he got initiation there, and he's just and it's such a powerful emotion that certain bodily actions, bodily symptoms began to manifest without his direction for them to happen, and that's called Satvika Bhav. Srimad Pandit and the other devotees all watch as the Lord cried out of intense love. Tears of love flowed from the Lord's eyes in all directions as if it was the Ganges. So this is a symptom of that kind of love. Everyone was struck with wonder and thought, we have never before seen him like this. He must have received the mercy of Lord Krishna, or perhaps he has seen something wonderful on the way. Yes. He received the mercy of Lord Krishna by committing to the authority of Lord Krishna and molding his life that way. And being fully open to that feeling of love. Lord said, oh friends, please return home today. I will tell you where to come so that we may meet tomorrow. You and Sada Shiva should come early to Shuklambar Brahmachari's house. After speaking to everyone, Vishwambar bid him goodbye and then performed his duties. Mother Sachi could not understand the conduct of her son, yet she was overjoyed to see him. As the Lord wept, he cried out the name of Krishna. His mother saw that the courtyard had become flooded with tears. The Lord cried out, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? While calling out in this way, his love incessantly increased. Bhakti, Sanjayate, Bhakti, the expressions of love increased the love upon which those expressions were based. So as he's calling out for Krishna, his love is just completely increasing. His mother could not understand anything. Therefore, she sought the protection of Govinda with folded hands. As the Supreme Lord began to manifest himself, innumerable universes rejoiced. Devotees immediately came when they heard about the auspicious beginning of the Lord's distribution of love. All the Vaishnavas who came to see the Lord were warmly greeted. Meet tomorrow at Shuklambar's house where I will have submit my soul. Come in. Submit my sorrows for your seclusion. Okay, we're going to stop. First we'll do, does anybody have reflections? And then if we get a few reflections, then we can have questions. I decided in the class it's better to stop early this way. Anybody have any questions?
Hari Bol Maharaj, Jamuna Jaya.
Okay, Jamuna Jaya, yeah. What's the reflection?
I was loving the reflection of you can't pray in pride.
Yeah, that's another button that you could make.
Yes.
How can we like do it? There's no prayer with pride. There's no prayer with pride. It just doesn't work. Right, good, thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Bhakti Devi.
Yeah, Bhakti Devi, go ahead, yeah.
Just the phrase that commitment changes consciousness, I think, is extremely powerful. You know, especially when you think about how people make certain commitments and never really live up to them. You know,
and
because
they
didn't have.
And
right,
they never change.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so powerful, especially what you're committing to. And this commitment means I'm committed to the truth.
And I love cotton consciousness also.
Yeah, cotton consciousness, yeah. Okay, thank you, good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gloria.
Okay, thank you. We'll see you next month. Next month or maybe April. Okay, good. Anybody else like this? Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah.
It's not so important what you do, but the conscious with you do.
That is the key. I'm actually writing on that. I'm writing an article on Raganuga Bhakti and management. And the conclusion is, it's not what you do, it's the consciousness. And of the 64 arts of Radharani, one is carpentry, one is mechanics, one is enforcing discipline. So what is the, because she does it to please Krishna. So it's not antithetical to Raganuga Bhakti. Okay, anybody else? Okay, Gail, any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj, thank you. Yeah, just one question, just to clarify that, you know, you were saying that, you know, the material body cannot contain, I guess, it's the emotions and the energy of prema. So,
yeah.
So that can only happen when we take birth and have, you know, participate in one of Krishna's pastimes. But so that birth necessarily has to be a birth where we are having spiritual body, even though I think, I don't know, it sounds like the pastime would happen in this realm, but so I'm confused about
it. It happens in what's called Boma Lila, someplace in the universe. Krishna's having his pastimes, and when Krishna's having his pastimes, and when happens, and one has bhava, but he's not actually completely pure yet, nor is his body completely pure, actually. And then it's described in the Bhagavatam, then when Krishna plays his flute, those people who had connections with their husbands and weren't yet actually completely pure, but at the stage of bhava, the separation burns up their material body or their material consciousness. And then they develop prema in that way. That's one example that's given. It's there so in the... Yeah, go ahead.
For them to develop prema, you know, it can't happen in the material, but like those gopis, right? It burned their material, that experience of separation burned their material consciousness, but, I mean, they couldn't experience prema.
No, they didn't have prema yet. There's different types of gopis. Some are nitya siddha, they're eternally. These are people that are sadhana siddha. They become perfect by their practice. But they have bhava, they don't have prema. And they don't get prema until the emotion comes and the desire increases by some experience there of separation, which burns off all material impurities, whatever that is.
Right, but after that those material impurities are burned up, they have to first enter the spiritual world, right, to experience prema.
No, they experience it there.
But they have material bodies. Well, I don't know.
No, they don't have material bodies. The material aspect is just completely burned off by that separation.
Okay, even though they're still in this universe.
They're still in this universe, but they can attain prema. If you write me a note, Gail, I'll find the commentary and I'll read it at the beginning of next week's class, exactly what happens. It's described. So I'll get the details exactly. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Anybody else like to share reflection?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, Hare Bhai, are you feeling better?
Yeah, recovering, thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Seva Priya.
Hare Bhai, good, okay. We're praying that you're able to come eternally with Tamal back to Vrindavan.
Mm,
and now next
thank
year,
you,
Jayapur. Marge. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Mukunda.
Mukunda. Wow. Good. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Sri Rupa.
Sri Rupa, nice to hear from you. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Jai Kishori.
Okay, Hare Bhai. A few more?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha and Priya.
And Chota Gopina.
Okay. Priya, did you get the message that I sent from Kaveri?
I don't think so. I got to check again.
Okay, it's about the... you know, having the ceremony in Vrindavan for your bird, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with the pandit, okay? Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Kamala.
Very good. Thank you, Kamala. Good. One more?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharvika.
Hare Bhai, Hare Bhai. Okay, a few more people.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa, great. Okay, a few more.
I'm excited to take your Radharani knows carpentry.
What's that?
Oh my God. Radharani knows carpentry. I had no idea.
That's amazing, right? That's one of the 64 arts she learned. It was carpentry. Let me just look it up now because it's so interesting. It was carpentry. I'll find it. It just take me a second. Because there were four that intrigued me in this way. Okay, it just came right now too. One second. Okay, it's coming now. Well, look at this. It was Tukshana Karpani. It's at Vastu Vidya Engineering, Yantra Matrika Mechanics, and Vinayiki Vidya Enforcing Discipline. So those were among the 64 arts. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Then we will end for today. Shubha Padkija. I got to go.